This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. With nearly 36,000 students in 65 schools spread across a 91-square-mile school district, Cincinnati Public Schools has plenty to prepare for the start of a new school year. And those preparations extend beyond academics. CPS also is focused on keeping students safe, and the district has partnered with the local community engagement firm Cohere to figure out which approaches students, parents, community leaders, and coaches believe will work best. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss what the district has learned and what CPS will be doing with those findings are Cincinnati Public Schools Assistant Superintendent Shauna Murphy. Welcome back, Shauna.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Cohere founder Dunny Isaacson. Thanks for being here, Dunny.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Lucy.
And Cohere Director of Client Success, Nia Bauke. Welcome, Nia.
Thanks, Lucy. Happy to be here.
I want to start with you, Shauna. First of all, can you kind of define the scope of what Cincinnati Public Schools was looking to address when it contracted with Cohere to look into youth violence? How do you all define the issue within the district, outside of the district, just the problem that your students and the school community are dealing with when it comes to youth violence?
Yeah, thank you, Lucy, for that question. And actually, this is one of my favorite topics that Cohere supported Cincinnati Public Schools with. If we go back a couple of years to March 2019 and the onset of COVID, and a little bit into that spring, we had the unrest, not only in the city of Cincinnati, but across our country. And at that time, we were separated from our students and very interested in knowing how they were feeling, what they were thinking, how they were handling being away from their teachers and their peers and the people who generally would support them in good and maybe not necessarily so good times. And so we worked with Cohere to pull them together and engage in a speak up, speak out group to get their feelings on what was happening. And it went so well with the facilitation and the organization partnering with Cohere that has continued over the past couple of years and has expanded to all of our high schools. And so very, very proud of that work and plan to continue that going into the 22-23 school year.
That's terrific. And so when you're thinking back to that spring of 2020, when the pandemic was getting started and schools shut down and there was so much disconnection, I know Cohere's done work with the district in a number of ways. This latest work that Cohere did in earlier this year was really focused on youth violence. Why did you all decide to take the work that direction and look at that issue so specifically?
It was one of the demands that came out of that Speak Up, Speak Out group. Our superintendent at that time, Superintendent Mitchell, asked the young people, tell her what they want from their school district, what they expect. And one of the things they talked about was giving a voice and a platform to youth violence, having conversations with the school resource officers that engage with the students during the school day every day. And so we took it from there and again relied on Cohere to have those conversations, not only with the students, but their parents, conversations with the school resource officers, conversations with the community at large. And we also included principals in those conversations.
Hmm. And was that a request by the students? What was your reaction to that? Was that something that took you by surprise? I guess we know we hear so much about youth violence in our community, in our world as a whole. Was there a kind of an understanding that students were experiencing and seeing violent situations, in the places where they live, in the communities where they have their activities?
You know, Lucy, it's so interesting. These are young people who they turn their TVs on every day and see violence. They are so attached to social media, they hear about violence. And I appreciated and just respected their maturity in wanting to address it and what their expectation was, not only for their schools as individuals, but as a collective group and what they could learn and pull from each other to implement across the schools and within the city in and of itself. It was an opportunity for the adults to listen to the voices of the young people, a collective voice, and amazing things came as a result of those conversations.
Dunny, let's talk about that. Where does Cohere start when you're working to assemble people to talk with you about issues like this?
Great question. So I'll back up a little. So Cohere is a community engagement and strategy company. And the basic premise is that people who live the issues every day, kids in school, people riding the bus, parents struggling with childcare, are experts on those issues, and that the everyday experts should be at the table meeting with policymakers and leaders like Assistant Superintendent Murphy to help shape better policy. And so our job at Cohere is how do we get the right everyday experts to the table, the folks with lived experience, and then elevate their voices and get their ideas on what they think could be better. So for this work, it was really about, you know, who are the people most impacted? Who are the experts on this issue? It's young people dealing with these issues, having their friends deal with these issues, you know, whether it's in the community, as Assistant Superintendent said, on the news or in social media. And so, you know, it's them, it's their parents, it's their teachers, it's their principals, it's the school resource officers. And so that's who we really wanted to engage and bring in this process. I'll let Nia talk more about what we learned, but that's sort of how we think about making sure that the right community voices are at the table.
And Nia, I do want to talk to you about what you all learned. I want to read a quote that jumped out at me in the report that you put together for the district. It was a quote from one student who said, "I'm just scared that I could die at any time, and I'm only 13. I have so much time left, and I shouldn't be scared to walk down my street, scared that I am going to get killed or something." That's such raw emotion. Nia, how hard is it to get to make the participants that you all talk to feel comfortable enough to open up like that?
Yeah, that was, I can really vividly remember that conversation with that student. You know, we facilitate really meaningful conversations, and we start by letting students know they're in a safe place, and we're really here to listen. As Assistant Superintendent Murphy mentioned, really, we're there to listen and understand, and we want them to be as open and as vulnerable as possible. I think it also helps if they just know, you know, they can share anything they want, and it's not going to be used against them. We're not going to tell their teachers or the school or attach their name to any quotes. And so we've been able to have some really powerful conversations because of that.
And so, Nia, let's talk about some of the students' actionable ideas that when it comes to violence that came out of this work. I know one of them was calling for swift and strong response to threats, addressing physical intimidation and bullying immediately. What were some of those thoughts and ideas that really stuck out to you that the students brought up?
Yeah, I think the biggest one was really around mental health and well-being. And that is a conversation that started from those speak out conversations all the way to the conversations that we've had most recently. But students want to feel that they have the mental support that they need to succeed and feel safe at school. There was definitely a sense, you know, post-pandemic, a lot of students felt stressed, overwhelmed in general, and they're on high alert, not only from things happening at school, but in their community. So some of the most interesting ideas from my perspective were around things that had to do with creating space for students to talk about their needs. One student talked about potentially having, you know, just a mental kind of recess period where they can just zone out for a second and relax and reset and maybe give them some calming tools. They mentioned that those types of things really help them. And then there was a lot of conversations around making sure their CPS does a great job of providing counseling and mental health support in the school, but making sure that those students know where to get those resources, making sure that they know of who those counselors are that they can safely speak to was very important. So not just having the resource there, but making sure that students know that they're available and that they really are there for them to utilize as needed.
And Nia, what did the students tell you all about where they're coming into contact with these violent situations and this youth violence?
I think it's a, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things. There's the stress, again, that Assistant Superintendent Murphy mentioned, of just what they're seeing on social media, what they're seeing on TV. I would dare to say that this is a first time for a lot of high schoolers ever where you just have access to so much information. So there's just a natural stress from all of that. And then there's the everyday type of stressors of struggles that might be happening in school, as well as in their community. So the student that you mentioned, you know, he wasn't talking about what's happening at school. He was actually talking about when he's walking home from school and the safety that he, or the lack of safety that he was feeling. And so, you know, students are really feeling that pressure from everywhere and kind of seeing these things in different spaces and places, depending on who they are. Some students talked about just some of the drills around, you know, mass shootings. So again, you know, what they're seeing on TV and what they're feeling happening nationally causes stress as well.
Yeah. Shauna, did you, when you reviewed what Cohere came up with in this report, did you see any kind of a disconnect between the resources and services that are available in schools and what the students knew about? Was there a disconnect there, or do the schools need more resources to help students deal with mental health?
Oh, great question. So when I think about our district strategic plan and some of the things that the kids were mentioning, maybe the language was a little different, but our school district has over the last 3 years made sure that there are mental health supports in all of our buildings by a licensed mental health provider in every single one of our schoolhouses. We have made sure that there is a full-time school social worker in every single schoolhouse. We have also added to the high schools and our K-8 buildings counseling services, and we are getting really, really close to being at the national level for what they feel is a good number per the number of students in each building. And so making sure that we share those resources and the availability with our families is critically important. So it's not that I was surprised at all. I felt we were very much aligned with where the district is going and what the students were asking for at that time.
Well, and I think for people in my age group, 50 plus, we might think of guidance counselors as people who you go to if you're having a scheduling problem or if you want to talk about what you're going to do after high school. But you're talking about more than that. These are counselors that not only help with academic situations, but you're talking about mental health counselors, too, if I understand correctly.
Yes, that is correct. So we do have, yes, in the buildings, school counselors as we had growing up who focused on academics. Even our school counselors can go so far with supporting kids and pointing them in the right direction and connecting the dots. So a lot of times children feel really comfortable going to their school counselor who can then connect them to the next resource, that mental health therapist, if that's what's needed, or getting the families to connect to the mental health therapist to say, yes, I think this would be a good thing for my child.
Dunny, did you get the sense that there are things stopping students from doing that if they know there are resources there? I guess I wonder if there's a stigma that students talked about or expressed when it comes to seeking out mental health supports.
I think it's one of the things that makes me feel actually most hopeful about the next generation is that there's much less of a stigma. And you know, when we talk to young people, their heads start nodding immediately when we, you know, ask them if there's a need for more mental health services. I even remember one student saying, you know, we're required to take physical health. You know, maybe everyone should be required freshman year to take mental health, and you know, and that way everyone has to do it at least a few times so that it destigmatizes it. The other thing I really liked about what they emphasized is that it wasn't all mental health services. It was addressing mental health and a feeling of disconnection by increasing their interactions with other kids, especially coming out of, you know, the remote schooling. They just wanted more opportunities to make friends and to, you know, whether that's art, music, sports, anime club, movie club, you know, it almost sort of doesn't matter, just more opportunities to engage and with other students socially as a way of strengthening their mental health.
And Danny, I mentioned that quote from the student before. One of the adults who took part in this work was quoted as saying, "I buried five kids I've mentored due to gun violence. One was just beginning to get his life on track." With hearing such powerful testimonies from adults like that, what did that make you think about just the need for this work?
Honestly, it's just a really sobering reminder of where we are. You know, we spend a lot of time appropriately talking about things in the headlines, like the, you know, recent mass shooting in Highland Park or Uvalde, Texas. But most gun deaths and most gun violence don't happen in mass shootings. It happens in the types of violence that person was talking about. And so it's, you know, that's some of the stuff that students were expressing to Nia about, you know, what they're seeing is that there's just a lot of, you know, we are seeing gun violence go up, including mass shootings, but also in these other ways. And we have to do something about it. And the people who notice it first and feel it the most acutely are the ones who are experiencing it in their neighborhoods. And so, you know, it's a question of where are we putting attention and resources, but that's where people were really clear that they want to see some changes.
Yeah. Shauna, in the report, some of the adults, the actionable ideas that the adults came up with, I was struck. One of them was provide school staff, coaches, mentors, and parents with skills for problem solving, to teach problem solving and self-care practices to students. It's almost like the adults who were involved in this research said, hey, we want to help. We'd like the tools to help these kids and not have it all rest on the shoulders of the mental health counselors who are in the schools. What did you think about that and some of the other ideas that the adults proposed?
I absolutely loved it. And I appreciated those adults who were willing to step up, because I think the key to all of this is to have people in front of our young people who they can trust, who they can go to, who know that will honor what they're doing and provide them space and time. You know, our current superintendent, Wright, is putting into place a theme around the ABCs, and those are academics, behavior, and culture. And just in this conversation, without the proper behaviors or support around mental health, without the proper support around a culture that embraces kids who come to our buildings every day looking to us for guidance, kids who have parents and families who look to us to support and love their children. Without those things in place, the academics, we can't be successful. And so I think that all of the people surrounding this and supporting Cincinnati Public Schools, from Cohere to having a superintendent who supports this vision, I think it's excellent for the young people who choose our school district.
And, you know, Shauna, you just mentioned something that made me think again back to that quote from this 13-year-old boy who talked about, you know, he's just scared that he could die at any time. How difficult is it to teach students who have those kinds of worries on their minds?
I think you have to give the kids that time and space, or you can't. You can't. It's almost like our hierarchy of needs. We have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to have basic things. And at this point, that social emotional need has to be addressed before you can peel back the layers and have a kid sit for 50 minutes in a classroom, you know, or be able to get along with their peers in a classroom.
Nia, what struck you, what jumped out at you in terms of these actionable ideas that adults suggested? I mentioned asking for the skills so they could help kids. They talked about developing and implementing non-traditional strategies and programs to reach new and at-risk students. What really jumped out at you in terms of what you heard from the adults who were part of this work?
Well, you really mentioned it with the fact that they wanted to be involved and get those skills on how to problem solve. And many of the adults and individuals that we interviewed from the community at large were already involved in working with students. So there were coaches or they worked at a CYC and really just wanted more resources available to them on how to help talk to students and help de-escalate situations and help them think through how to better their mental health. So not a surprise there because these are adults who really care about children, but I think something worth noting that there are so many adults that really are looking for resources to be able to help these students in a better way.
So I noted that at the end of that report, you had some potential pilot interventions listed, including mental health free periods, get to know your counselor check-ins, creating a safety app so students could report trouble when they encountered it, stop the violence events, social media campaigns, life coaches, and additional after-school programming. Sean, I know that's a big list. Are you at a point where you can talk to us about which, if any, of those CPS is looking to implement?
One strategy that I had in place when I had the opportunity to serve as a high school principal is I had my resource people come out into the cafeteria during all of the lunch hours. So not in their offices, but that they were easily accessible to the young people. It may be hard to get a pass out of class to go see your counselor, but if the counselor then makes themselves available where the child is, they have easier access. And the students are a little bit even more comfortable coming up to their counselor or whoever that support person might be that's needed. So helping to make people more accessible, number one, I think will address all of the suggestions that people made during these conversations. Hmm.
And what that makes me wonder about the mental health needs of faculty and staff. I mean, these have been such difficult years for the people who work at schools and educate these kids and help take care of them. Is that something CPS is looking to address also?
Definitely. So we have self-care sessions. We offer professional development for our staff. We have social emotional supports for our staff that they can access privately should that be a need. And I know that people take advantage of it because it's been around for a moment and we are sharing the word about those opportunities for our staff members more and more.
Well, I really appreciate this discussion. I've been talking with Cincinnati Public Schools Assistant Superintendent Shauna Murphy, Cohere founder Dunny Isaacson, and Cohere Chief and Cohere Director of Client Success, Nia Bauke. Thank you all so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thanks so much for having us.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Assistant producer is Nick Swartzell. Technical director is Derek Smith. Our theme music was composed by Rob Fetters. I'm Lucy May.